chapter 6. The verses are 11 and 12 that I want to consider for reading tonight. These verses come just after Paul exhorts Timothy about the proper attitude toward money. We would remember that he says in verse number 10 that the love of money is the root of all evil. He even talks about the fact that some have coveted after and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But then he says in these verses, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things." Let those things go. Get away from those things, the coveting after money, the wrong attitude toward money. Flee these things. And here's what you really need to do. He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. In verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In this scripture text that I've just shared this evening, Paul gives his son in the gospel, Timothy, some most needed advice and exhortation. And particularly in verse number 12, he uses the imagery of a soldier in battle. And in several of his writings, he uses this imagery. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, he'll talk about the things that we use to fight with. We'll say a little bit more about that later. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11, he uses this imagery of a soldier. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 3, he uses the imagery of a soldier. And again in verse number 12, that our lesson is based upon tonight, he uses the imagery of a soldier. From this then, we should understand that the Christian life is not only a race to be run, but it's also a battle to be fought and won. We are fighting against the arch enemy, who is the devil. And we must be determined to win. For if we lose this war against the devil, it will mean the eternal ruin of our souls. Remember again what he says. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. So that ought to tell us that if we don't fight the good fight of faith, we'll never lay hold on eternal life. Well, as we talk about the good fight of faith tonight, I want to share with you some reasons that should motivate us to fight. Some reasons that should motivate us to fight. Looking at the text again, he says, fight the good fight of faith. It's a good fight that Paul is talking about. You see, all fights are not good. A lot of folks are fighting, but it may not be a good fight. Husband and wives, when they fight, that's not a good fight. Husband and wives don't need to fight. That's not a good fight. Sometimes people fight with someone else to keep something that they have no right to. That's not a good fight. Young people fighting with your peers and the students in school or the neighborhood is not a good fight. So I say, all fights are not good fights. So Paul didn't just say fight, but he says fight the good fight of faith. Why is the good fight of faith such a good fight? Well, number one, it's a good fight because it is fighting for the cause of truth. I remember what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 when he says to Timothy, he says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the church of God, which is the what? Church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the support of the truth." So when we are fighting this good fight of faith, we are actually fighting for truth, supporting truth, upholding truth. When we, as Brother Otey shared with us this weekend, when we do what we are supposed to do, like God commands for us to do, even if it costs, and it usually will cost us something, we are fighting to support the truth of what God wants us to do. It would be easy for us to throw in the towel. But as a child of God, we can't throw in the towel. We've got to stand in there and fight to support truth, to uphold truth. As somebody says it like this, when the world is going to hell in a handbasket, we've got to stay in there and fight for truth. And don't be ashamed to fight for truth. So when we are fighting this good fight of faith, we are supporting the truth. And that's what the church is all about. It's the pillar, the Bible says, and the ground are the support of truth. If anybody upholds the truth, it ought to be the church. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, must be the one, if we're going to please God, supporting the truth. So when we support the truth, even though when we go up against oppositions, we are fighting a good fight. And Paul says, Timothy, I want you to fight the good fight of faith. So it's a good one because it's for the cause of truth. Not only that, but it's for the cause of righteousness. As a matter of fact, anything that's for the cause of truth is for the cause of righteousness. It is a fight to keep that which has been granted to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what has been granted to us by the blood of Jesus Christ? It's eternal life. Eternal life has been granted to us, but if we are going to have eternal life, then we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to fight to keep it. Again, there's no such thing as once saved, you're automatically always saved. We're going to have to put up a good fight because the devil will throw all kinds of things in our pathway to get us off course because he wants us to not have eternal life. So we're going to have to put up a fight for it. No wonder the Bible says we need to resist the devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9 says, him, speaking about the devil that he had talked about in verse number 8, him resist steadfast in the faith. How do we do it? By fighting the good fight of faith so that we'll not lose what has been granted to us by the blood of Christ. Notice what John says when he wrote to people in his day and time in 2 John verse number 8. He says, look to yourselves that we what? Lose not those things which we have wrought, which we have fought for. Lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive what? A full reward. In order to get that full reward, we're going to have to fight for it. We're going to have to fight it for it. So then, again, Paul says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. And when you look at this phrase, lay hold on, It gives you the idea of having it in our grasp, never to let it go. The world uses, or maybe not the world, but they're part of the world, many religious people uses this thing about when Jesus says, no man shall never pluck you out of my hand. And they look to that as the security of the believer, and it is, but not like they look at it. Yes, no man will be able to pluck us out of his hand, but we can turn loose of his hand. So when he says, lay hold on eternal life, he is saying, grab hold to it through your obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, through your living for the cause of truth, through your obeying his will, grab hold to it and don't let it go. Lay hold on eternal life. And to lay hold on it and don't let it go, we're going to have to fight for it, because the devil is going to be right there pulling almost as strong as we're pulling to hold on to it. He's going to try to pull us away. And sometimes, if we're not careful, he will tempt us to give up. And so what we do? Just turn it loose, God's hand. I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up to go to jail. I didn't sign up to be beat. I didn't sign up to be killed. And so we'll say, I'll give in and just turn it loose. But Paul says, grab hold to it, hold it tight, and don't let it go. You know, there's a football cheer. I don't know whether it's cheerleaders. It's so old now. Back in my day and time, they would say, get that ball and hold that line and don't let him go. What are they saying? Fight for this victory. Fight for this victory. That's the same thing we got to do to have eternal life. Yes, it's a free gift, but we got to fight for it, to hold on to it. So number one, it's a good fight. Knowing that it's a good fight, it ought to motivate us to fight that good fight of faith. Secondly, another thing that ought to motivate us to fight this good fight of faith is because is knowing that we have the best equipment with which to fight. We got the best equipment which to fight. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not fight or war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, how do we obey Christ? By obeying his word. His word gives us the tool or the weapon by which to fight. And there is nothing no better than God's word. As a matter of fact, that's the only way we're going to be able to win this battle against Satan, is to use the weaponry of God's word. It's the best equipment to fight with. We try it any other way, we're going to lose. So we have the best equipment. No soldier was ever better equipped than with the word of God. And that's why when we talk about this imagery that Paul uses as a soldier in Ephesians chapter 6, he says, a familiar passage that we know all about, Ephesians 6 verse 13, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day. Excuse me, in the evil day. The whole arm of God equips us with the weaponry to withstand in the evil day. So when they come at us from the left, when they come at us from the right, when they come at us from the back, when they come at us from the front, God's word equips us with the ability to stand. So he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, he says, having your loins girded about with what? Truth. We've talked about truth already, didn't we? So he says, have your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, he says, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all, not some, but all, not most, but all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You see, God intends for us to win. And if we use what God provides for us, we will win. But we got to fight the good fight of faith with what God has given us to fight with. Brother Ote mentioned again, when do we get to the point, he said, some would say, that we take up arms? Never. We never get to the point that we take up physical or carnal arms. We just read in the scripture that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight with physical weapons, but we fight with the word of God. And when we use God's word, there will be no reason for us to lose. Because the scripture says in Romans 8, verse 31, a passage that we're so familiar with, if what? What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us? In other words, nobody can win against us in the spiritual battle that we're in. Because God is on our side. When we do his will. No wonder Isaiah said, no weapon, he says, that's formed against us shall prosper. I don't care what they throw at us. When we use God's word, they'll never be able to prosper. So let's stick with truth. Let's stick with God's word. Let's use God's word as we fight the good fight of faith, and we will always be on the winning team. Everybody, you know, in basketball, in football, in baseball, in track, and all, everybody wants to be on the winning team. Well, I tell you, when we use God's word, we're on the winning team, and we'll never lose. So we have the best equipment to fight with. Knowing that, it ought to motivate us to fight this good fight of faith. Thirdly, we ought to be motivated by the fact that our provisions are in an abundant supply. God wants us to fight. He wants us on his team. Therefore, he is going to provide us with abundant provisions. You know, some physical battles a loss because they don't have the proper supplies, or they don't have an abundant supply or abundant provisions. But in God's army, he supplies us with everything we need. He supplies us with strength. He supplies us with courage. He supplies us with power. When you got strength, when you got courage, when you got power, what else do you need? That's an abundant supply of provisions. No wonder Paul would say in Philippians 4 and verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. All our needs, all our physical needs, all our spiritual needs. And in order to win this war against Satan, we certainly need some spiritual supplies to do that. We need strength. We need courage. We need power. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Paul said to the Ephesian Christians, finally, my brethren, be strong. That's the strength. Be strong where? In the Lord. Out of the Lord, you'll never be strong. Not to fight Satan. You'll never be strong. So he says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We got strength there. We even got power in that same verse. Be strong in the Lord. We need courage, I've said, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Paul tells Timothy there, for God has not given us the spirit of what? Fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. That's courage there. That's courage. That's power. Even strength. John 1 and verse number 12, Jesus said, after having said, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But he says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. So God provides us with strength. He provides us with courage. He provides us with power. That's the supplies that we need. Knowing then that we have everything at our disposal, that we have all that is necessary, that we have all that we need, we ought to be motivated to fight the good fight of faith. Then lastly, the reward will be a glorious reward. That ought to motivate us. You remember what Paul said when he came nearly to the close of his life, realizing that his head was about to go on the chopping block of Nero. He said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. And as the question was posed to us in the fashion this morning, are we ready? And even in the lesson at the funeral this afternoon, that statement was posed, was made, that we need to be ready. And while it was a denominational service, that was a true statement. We need to be ready. And Paul says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. And then he went on and says, I have done what? Fought a good fight. Same thing he told Timothy. Here's what you need to do. Fight the good fight. He didn't say again, I have just fought a fight. But he says, I fought the good fight. And not only have I fought the good fight, he says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, he says, there is now laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that love his appearance. That's a glorious crown. Yes, brothers and sisters, this evening, our victory can be certain when we fight the good fight of faith. Because all of our fighting, all of our laboring, all of our working, all of our obedience will not be in vain. That's why he encouraged the Corinthian Christians, Paul, that is, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, inasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a rewarding thing to know that our labor is not in vain. Victory then comes through faithfulness to duty. Therefore, we need to contend for the faith. Jude verse 3, he says this, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me, he says, to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend, struggle. That word contend means struggle. Again, fight, contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We must contend for that faith. We are assured that it is faith that will overcome the world. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 4. For whosoever or whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it, John? Even our faith. But we're going to have to fight the good fight of faith in order to lay hold on eternal life. And so I leave you again with these words, the words of our subject tonight, the good fight of faith. Let's fight, brothers and sisters. Make sure it's a good fight. The devil wants us to fight, but he don't want us to fight a good fight, because he knows if we fight the good fight, we're going to lay hold on eternal life. So if you're here then this evening and you need to respond to the Lord, your faith may be getting weak, you're not fighting like you ought to fight, I want to encourage you to redouble your efforts. If you haven't obeyed the gospel for the first time, I want to encourage you to do that, because you'll never be able to fight this good fight until you obey the gospel. By hearing and believing the gospel, repenting of your past sins, confessing your faith in Jesus Christ, being baptized in water for the remission of sin, and let the Lord add you to his church. That's the only place you can fight this good fight of faith, is in his church. Any church just won't do. It must be his church in order to fight the good fight of faith. Become a member of his church, and then work out your soul salvation with fear. Excuse me. I guess I need to just keep drinking water. And then work out your soul salvation with fear and trembling. When you do that, you'll be sure to lay hold on eternal life. If you somehow have erred along the way, you've allowed Satan to tempt you to move away from the faith or to do things contrary to the will of God, repent of that, and if you need to confess, do that. Or maybe you just need prayer. Whatever your need is tonight, we want to encourage you to come. Come right now while we're standing and while we're singing.